So I'm looking at a post on Facebook right now with the headline, Jimmy Carter urges Barack Obama to divide the land of Israel at the United Nations before January 20th. Hello, friends. This is Damian Jordan, and you are listening to The Wise Shall Understand. This headline is epic because a reading of the book of Joel reveals that among the different things that the Lord spoke through the prophet Joel concerning the judgment of the nations, the Lord provided a list of things that the nations had done to Israel. And among those things, what comes across as the straw that breaks the camel's back, it kind of has that feel when you're reading the words, is a phrase which is very close to being fulfilled. And that phrase is, they even divided my land. Now, friends, I'm actually looking at this where the United Nations has made multiple moves against Israel through the years in the way of resolutions. In fact, the United Nations has been preoccupied with Israel, with a majority of UN resolutions focused on the state of Israel. Now, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, according to this article on Charisma News, one of the sites that I recommend that you follow on Facebook, along with others, if you want to have real-time updates of various things that really matter in terms of Bible prophecy and living circumspectly, there are a number of websites and resources that I will recommend, perhaps not in this particular podcast, but as you listen, I'm going to refer to different news sources that you can follow, and you'll know how to keep up with a lot of these things. And for what purpose? Well, the purpose for which Yeshua, Jesus himself said, watch and pray. The Why Shall Understand, an online Christian community for people who watch and pray. I wanted to spend a moment just talking about this headline, and then I want to pray. This headline is one which any Christian who understands the consequences of dividing the land of Israel according to the book of Joel and other places in the Bible, this is of incredible significance. When we consider the possibility that the outgoing president of the United States could allow the United Nations to pass resolutions concerning the dividing of the land of Israel, particularly Jerusalem into East and West Jerusalem, we realize that this is cause for great intercession. When we consider what it says in the book of Joel and what the headlines of reputable news sources are revealing, surely we can deduce that these are the last days as described in Bible prophecy. But I'm going to mention something right now which I believe every Jew in Jerusalem needs to know about. Many of them have no idea that this is in the scripture. There are certain passages in the Word of God which would come under the category of esoteric, meaning little known prophecies, even prophecies that the rabbis do not cover, prophecies which are kind of held back from the people, because if they were to be taught on certain passages of scripture, their eyes would be opened. They would know that Yeshua, Jesus, truly was their Messiah. I think about Isaiah chapter 53. The Isaiah scroll is one which the Lord Jesus himself opened and read from. And what he said that day was so powerful in terms of what it implied when he said, today the scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing. They were so upset about this that they were basically taking him out to throw him off of a cliff, but he kind of walked through the crowd and escaped from them. Kind of like those cartoons where you see this big rolling, tumbling fight, and then the guy that they're trying to beat up just kind of walks out whistling, no problem. Well, Isaiah chapter 53 is a chapter in which Israeli Jews living in Israel are presently sharing in the streets of Jerusalem to whomever would stop and listen. And when they ask them, who do you think this is talking about? There's this awkward, uncomfortable realization in which the Jews to whom these Messianic Jews are witnessing and sharing Isaiah chapter 53 experience, and they say, it sounds like it's talking about Yeshua. Of course, that is how they would, you know, when you read your Bible, if you read the King James Version, read the New American Standard Version in English, it'll say Jesus. But the Hebrew name for Jesus is actually Yeshua. So you can just imagine, as, and there are videos of this too, where Jews living in Israel, upon reading with their own mouths during a street interview, the chapter in Isaiah, which points to, among other chapters, points to and describes the Messiah, Isaiah chapter 53, they realize if Yeshua, Jesus, is who he said he was, if he is who he said he was when he came the first time, then it's decision time for anybody who comes into this knowledge, including Jews living in Israel. Now, we're going to touch upon some different scriptures here, and one which I'm going to go to now is Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. I'm going to sum this up basically in a nutshell. It was revealed in the book of Daniel that the Messiah of Israel would come during a certain time in history. And the characteristics of that time, if you were basically to read the passage with understanding, you realize that that time in history was actually when the second temple was still standing. Very interesting, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, that final time during his first coming, before he was crucified, and while his followers were admiring the second temple, Jesus basically revealed that all of this was going to be destroyed. And that's exactly what happened in 70 AD when Titus and the Roman legions came in and destroyed Jerusalem. The prophecy was fulfilled. So what does that tell us? That tells us that if the Messiah of Israel had to come while the second temple was still standing, and if during that time, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, is the only one who indicated that he was the Messiah, then there really is no other candidate in all of history who would qualify, because after the temple was destroyed, once again in 70 AD, anyone else who might claim to be the Messiah would be lying, because according to the scriptures, the Messiah had to come, Messiah Prince had to come during a certain time. There was a window of time. And Jesus is the only one who came during that window of time. That's why the scriptures say that he came at the right time, at just the right time, while we were still powerless. Another chapter to which I'm going to refer, and I pray that this reaches Jews living in Jerusalem, is Zechariah chapter 12 and Zechariah chapter 14. And the reason why I'm referring to these chapters is because it is revealed in these chapters how the Lord is going to save Israel when an earthquake, which is so great, is prophesied that there will be an earthquake that is so great that it will split the Mount of Olives in two. Half of the Mount of Olives, the northern half, will move up north, and then the southern side will move south. So it's going to be an earthquake that splits the Mount of Olives in two. Now this earthquake, according to the scriptures, is also going to destroy a tenth of the city of Jerusalem. Now can you just imagine? And this is also going to be when the Messiah returns, and when the Jews in Jerusalem will realize who he is. They will look at the scars in his hands and ask him where he got these scars. And he's going to answer them, in the house of my friends. I mean, this is like one of the chapters in Genesis where Joseph revealed himself to his brothers where it's hard to read these chapters without your eyes streaming with tears because you see the love of God revealed in chapters like these. When Jesus is asked, the day is coming, and it could be sooner than we realize, when Jesus is asked by the Jews living in Jerusalem, that is the context of these chapters, when he is asked where he got these scars, these wounds in his hands, he is going to answer them once again, in the house of my friends. And then in Zechariah chapter 12 and 14, the whole buildup there, you know, with respect to the prophecy concerning the earthquake, it's going to be like Moses and the Red Sea all over again. Now look at the salvation that the Lord wrought for his people. When the Hebrews were leaving Egypt and were up against the Red Sea, basically pinned against the Red Sea, and then you have Pharaoh and the chariots of Egypt coming down hard on them, pillar of fire came down and stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites. What happened when that pillar of fire lifted and the Egyptians pursued the Israelites into the Red Sea? That Red Sea, which was parted, was basically the escape route for the Israelites to get to the other side. And that is exactly what's going to happen when this earthquake takes place. The earthquake described in Zechariah, when the Mount of Olives splits in half, a path, a valley, a great valley, is going to be created as a result of that earthquake. It'll be like the parting of the Red Sea that saved the Israelites in Moses' day, but this time it's not going to be the parting of waters, it will be the parting of the land. This earthquake, and you can read this for yourself, and I'm speaking right now in particular to Jews living in Jerusalem. When this earthquake takes place and when Messiah appears to save Israel, a way of escape is going to be provided. Now, why is a way of escape going to be necessary? Well, there are other chapters in the Bible which interface with these chapters, and they describe what is going to happen in Israel that would necessitate that the Lord would provide a escape route for his people. And I'm telling you, based upon what's clearly stated in the prophecies, the escape route that the Lord is going to provide for the Jews living in Jerusalem is going to be the valley created by the Mount of Olives when it is split in two. I wish more pastors would talk about these types of things in the Sunday sermon, because we could be closer to these things coming to pass than we realize. Once again, the headline in Charisma News, an article, a report authored by Michael Snyder, former President Jimmy Carter, had to go there. Now, it's a time that calls for prayer, a time that calls for intercession. When God visited Abraham with respect to the judgment that he was going to bring on Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord said, "Should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" And it was interesting, this time of intercession that is one of the greatest chapters of intercession in the Bible, where Abraham intercedes for the righteous. And in particular, he was interceding for Lot. And you have this negotiation, but, you know, far be it from, you know, the God of all creation and, you know, the God of all righteousness to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And so he intercedes with the Lord. "Don't be angry. Just this once more, may I ask, you know, if there are 50, if they're 40, and he's negotiating down all the way to just 10. If there are just 10 righteous in the city, if there are just 10, and the Lord said, "If there are 10, I will not destroy the city." Now, obviously, there weren't even 10 righteous in that city, So the angels took Lot and his daughters, Lot and his wife, out of the city. Of course, Lot's wife looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. She was warned not to look back. Whatever you do, don't look back. She looked back, indicating she didn't really want to leave, apparently. When we see the intercession that took place there, I believe that that intercession is what we need to do now, church. We need to intercede in light of the headline. Jimmy Carter urges Barack Obama to divide the land of Israel at the United Nations before January 20th. And of course, we know why that date is significant, because January 20th would be the inauguration of the incoming president-elect, Donald Trump. You know, the powers that be see that there's a new sheriff in town, and he's about to put on his holster. He's about to put on that badge. He's about to take the office. And you can tell a lot about a man by the people who oppose him. Now, if the political left have gone out of their way to oppose President-elect Donald Trump like we've never seen before. I mean, for 30 years, nobody had a problem with Donald Trump. He was in the public eye. Everybody loved the show, The Apprentice. But as soon as that man ran for the presidency of the United States, he just couldn't possibly win. You know, you hear all of these celebrities talking about if he wins, they're going to move to other countries. I don't see any of them packing their bags, but then that's another issue altogether. The point is, this is a pivotal time that we're living in. And I'm going to pray that the Lord would have mercy upon the United States should Barack Obama do what Jimmy Carter is urging him to do. Can you imagine? Jimmy Carter, healed of cancer through Israeli medical technology, calling for the division of the city of Jerusalem, the dividing, having Israel go back to pre-1967 borders, when in 2011, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, met with Barack Obama in the Oval Office and had to explain, after Barack Obama was imposing upon him a demand to return to pre-1967 borders, Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel cannot do that because those would be indefensible borders. If you want to know what the plans that the so-called Palestinians have for Israel and the Jews, and if you don't have time to read it, I'll give you the cliff notes. Just go to the Yale University website and pull up the Hamas Charter. And there you have very concisely described what the Islamist vision for Israel and the Jews, and Christians for that matter, is. You don't have to go any further than that to realize there's no such thing as a two-state solution in Israel, because the Muslims who follow the Hamas Charter would never be satisfied until Israel did not exist as a nation. They would never be satisfied until every Jew was killed. They would not be satisfied, for that matter, until ultimately Christians were wiped out. So you have right there the proof, all the proof that you need, that there is no such thing as a two-state solution. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now and we intercede. Lord, have mercy on the United States. Have mercy, Father God, if Barack Obama were to heed what Jimmy Carter is saying right now, surely it would activate, surely it would trigger the prophecy of Joel. They even divided my land. Father, we ask that you would intervene in the name of Jesus. But Father, we are also thankful that you have said in your word, you've said in the prophecies, that you are going to provide an escape route for your people. You will save your people. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus right now for the peace of Jerusalem. Even in light of all that's happening, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. And friend, if you're listening to this recording right now, and your heart has been stirred by what all of this could mean, I want you to know that the scriptures say that today is the day of salvation. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord today.